In an assembly where the exercising of spiritual gifts seems so far removed from the teaching we have heard tonight, how can we go about exercising these gifts in God's ideal way? Well, the meetings of the church are not necessarily the extent to which the gifts are exercised. The gift of giving, for example, isn't the sort of thing where you necessarily are giving in the context of local church meetings. You're out there visiting widows, you see that they're needing some groceries, and you leave a little money as you walk out the door, and you see a young couple that are struggling, and you help them, and you are in your prayer, you suddenly are exercised to put a missionary somewhere halfway around the world, and you sit down and send them a gift. You're sensitive to that. You don't just think that thinking about someone else is a misfiring of your brain. You actually think the Spirit of God is showing you this for a reason. And so you respond to that. And so the gift of giving isn't necessarily contained within the corporate meetings of the church. The gift of showing mercy probably will be exercised mostly outside of the four walls, won't it? It won't be something where you're doing it too much within the context of the gatherings of the church. And so it is with many of these gifts, that many of them will not be going on within the context of the local gatherings of the believers, but it will be for the general upbuilding of the local believers. So if there are situations where there are certain men who are controlling everything in the local church and it doesn't seem like there's much opportunity for the exercise of gift there, well, there's possibilities for the exercise of gift in the old folks' home, in the prison, on the street corner, in neighbors' homes, in the lives of God's people. Lots of room, lots of opportunity. We're going to be looking at the subject of what the elders are accountable for one evening, and when we talk about order. And I think this is an area that we really need to get clear again. Unfortunately, in many places, weddings and funerals have become church meetings. That's Catholicism, you know, where the sacraments of the church include weddings and funerals. But that's not Christianity, please. That's not the Bible. And yet somehow the elders have extended their shadow over weddings and funerals, and we have to have church order, and the women have to have their heads covered at the funeral and the wedding. Those are family gatherings. That has nothing to do with the church. And then Sunday school and gospel efforts, and somehow the elders have taken responsibility for many areas that I don't think the Bible warrants. So we have to realize that while we are submitting to the elders and we are identified with the local church and how we behave and what we do and all of our ministries all affect the life of the local assembly, I don't have to go and ask my elders if I can have some of my neighbors into my home to share the gospel with them. Do you think you have to do that? If you're at work and one of your workmates came to you and said, say, I understand you read the Bible. I've got some questions about the Bible. Could we talk about it at lunch? You say, well, I don't know. It's a bit quick. I don't know if I could get the elders together to approve this. You wouldn't have to do that, would you? No. Well, you wouldn't have to. Why would you do that if you were going to have some neighbors into your home? You see, we don't need elders' approval to do what the Lord has already commanded us to do. If the Lord's commanded us. It's like my children, you know, when supper time comes and I give them a general call, but then they want an effectual call, right? The general call is, supper's ready, nobody comes. So then you go to the door, the bottom of the stairs, and you call up, that means you, Sharon. There's a special place set just for you, and we personally invite you to come and share in the repast. Well, no. The Lord has called us. He has commissioned us. He's equipped us, and he's given us a work to do. I don't need to check in again because the Lord's already sent me to do this, right? Now, I want the elders to know about it. I want the assembly to pray about it. I'm not doing things in a hidden sort of way. But we have to understand, I have personal responsibilities that I'll give an account for. The elders have responsibilities they'll give an account for. The heads of homes, husbands and fathers, they'll give an account for certain things. But we shouldn't confuse these things. We should keep them clear in our mind. And sometimes what happens is we feel the elders are maybe a little too protective, a little too careful about what's going on, and you see a young person goes and says, do you think I could do this? And the elders think, if something goes wrong, we'll be accountable. So no, you better not do it, right? So we end up in a situation where we're overly protective because we're afraid that this young person might make a mistake in their ministry, and then that will reflect that back on the elders and on the assembly, and what will everybody think? Well, Christians have personal responsibilities to accomplish what God has given us to do. And when we're in the context of the local church, and we'll see very clearly, the elders have a huge responsibility. We need to pray for them every day because they have a huge burden to bear. And they want to give account for our souls with joy. And so we need to think about that. But their burden is so huge, we don't want to add further burdens to what they have to do. There are certain areas that are personal, that are family, that are government-related, that are employer-related. God recognizes government, employers, husbands, fathers, and personal obligation along with church order. And so we need to keep those things clear in our mind, because if not, then we'll feel that we have to clear it with our elders before we, you know, send out some tracts in the mail or talk to someone on the street. Well, no. People should be coming up to us all the time saying, what's with you? Why are you different? If we're talking about planning an evangelistic campaign 6 months from now, well, let the elders do it. That's fine. But if we're talking about living daily lives in the daily experiences of contacting with other people, we ought to be in each other's homes all the time. We ought to be in each other's lives all the time. The assemblies that I see that are really vigorous, that are really growing, they love each other. That sounds radical, doesn't it? They like being around each other. They go out for coffee together. An older brother calls up a young man and says, let's have lunch together. And they sit down and they discuss the scripture and they pray together. And the older brother encourages the young man, and away they go. I know some assemblies where every young person meets with one older Christian every week. And it's not like lined up, you know. This is a spontaneous care for the people of God. So I think there are a lot of things we can do personally in encouraging. I think of one assembly where this young man, the elders were on this side and the young people were on this side, and there was a great gulf fixed. And he thought, I'm going to build a bridge. And so every Saturday morning, he'd call up one of the elders and say, I'd like to take you out for breakfast. And he'd take them out to McDonald's, and sitting there munching whatever they had, Egg McMuffin. He'd ask the elder, how did you get saved, and what were the books that helped you when you were a young Christian? And you know, those elders eventually, they thought he was the best young man in the assembly. Well, he really just wanted to reach out to those elders and to let them know he was a real person who had real needs, and he cared about them, and he wanted them to care about him. So it's not a one-way street. A lady said to me one time, the elders never come to visit me. And I said, well, does your odometer work in your car? She said, what's that got to do with it? So we'll get in your car and drive from your house to the elders, and then from the elder's house to your house. And you'll see within a quarter of a mile, it's the same distance. The elders shouldn't have to surround you. This is the elders. We're coming in. You know, you should be approachable. You should reach out to them. Encourage them. So I think if we did more of this, the elders would find out we were real people with real interests, spiritual interests. We weren't frightening. We weren't dangerous. We loved them. We were happy to be in the assembly. We're committed to the assembly. I think that sort of thing would happen. The elders are very nervous these days because they've had some experience. They've seen a lot of people leave and buzz off and go to other places, and they know there are a lot of wacky ideas out there in the evangelical world, and they're just trying to protect everything. But sometimes protection turns to smothering, doesn't it? And we need to discover again that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty. And it's a joyful thing. Now, when you have liberty, you have the danger of the abuse of it, right? It's like in a communist election, you never have to worry about who's going to win. You can vote if you like, but there's just one party, right? And there are some people who feel that this is how, the only way we can be safe in protecting the people of God is we just give them one choice, do what we say, sort of thing, you see. But the beauty of the Word of God is God trusts us. Now, we're not always trustworthy, but he actually lets us make mistakes sometimes. He gives us the freedom not to do wrong, but once in a while to be wrong and to risk, because all the pictures of Christian life are risk. The only thing that's unforgivable is if you wrap your napkin, your talent in a napkin and bury it. That's unforgivable to the Lord. Use it. He says, you've got to use it. And so this is not something we can just blame on the elders. When we stand before the Lord and he says, I gave you this sacred trust, this gift. It involved God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit to provide this for you, and you wasted it. So, well, you know, the elders wouldn't let me. Come on. You can use your gift all sorts of places. It's not simply within the meetings of the church. I think this is important for us to realize that they were out. They didn't have buildings in the New Testament. We have this funny idea that all the church meetings, that means we're in this building, you see. But they didn't have any buildings. They were out and they were sharing, they were working, they were in each other's homes. When you read the book of Acts, you see this is so obvious. So, in answer to the question, if it's not going on in the context of the meetings of the church, there's lots of room for exercising your gift in lots of ways among the people of God. You can invite people over to your home. You can encourage them. If you're not invited to get up and teach the Word of God and you believe you have the gift of teaching, you know what you can do? You can have the Christians over one at a time and say, listen, here's a little something that really blessed my heart. I'd just like to share it with you. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. And it probably will mean more to them than if you get up and preach it from the pulpit. So, it's still the gift of teaching, right? You don't... the great thing about fruit bearing is that fruit pops up anywhere. You can't stop a fruitful vine from bearing fruit. And if we're enjoying the rich things of God and we're reaping the benefits of it, then we'll want to be... It's not a matter of rebellion against anyone. It's not a matter of overriding the elders. It's just a matter of fulfilling our responsibility, which God has given us, to be fruitful. And the way we do it is by looking for need and ministering to that need. And I think one of the best things we could do is to try to minister to our elders, to encourage them, to help them with their workload, to pray for them, to let them know we care about them and we appreciate them. And in doing that, they begin to realize that we're people who care and people who are exercised and have a burden, you know? So instead of sort of freezing ourselves out from these sorts of situations, if we can, and love risks and love will be hurt. You know, it's sometimes you get hurt doing this. And that's part of the process. We're willing to do it for the Lord's sake. So I think there are ways to begin to develop our gift that are not necessarily within the context of the regular church meetings.